Gentlemen's Guide.
What up, what up? It's your boy B. Barnes. This is the Gentleman's Guide podcast where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time. I am privileged enough to have, first, he's a dope artist, but he's my brother from NC State. Went to college together. The Deep End, what's going on, bro?
What's popping? How y'all doing out there? How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good, man. How you living?
I'm great, bro. I'm blessed and highly favored. You feel me? I've never seen it forsaken.
Hey, bro. Hey, I totally agree. Man, it's been a crazy year. You know, we almost to the finish line. Given all that's going on in 2020, how does it feel to finally get your innermost thoughts out to the people?
Dog, it's crazy, bro. It feels amazing because it's like, for me, it's not even any pressure or like any angst until like right before it's time to release it, right?
Where?
And for me, it's not even like, oh, are people going to listen to it? It's just like, damn, like, I got to wait. Do we not curse on here?
Bro, you can go.
Okay. I just want to make sure. No, no, but the thing is, when for me is, it's all of the little things that as an artist, you don't expect to have to do, but you have to do, right? Because this is a business, right? Mm-hmm. And the more you get into it, the more you realize, oh, there's so many aspects and avenues that you have to have taken care of. So for instance, when I dropped the project, I didn't think anybody was going to pre-order it. I've never had pre-orders and stuff before. So,
hey, that's a different beast, right?
Yeah, not a fact. Right? So Bandcamp, when I was uploading the project, it was telling me, okay, well, you can set pre-orders and stuff. And I just skipped it. And then I could check my phone and my engineer had put a story up and was like, yeah, everybody go holler at my boy The Deep End, you know, for pre-orders. And I was like, oh, snap, let me go ahead and get this.
Right.
Let me just get this pre-order. Because I was like, I talked to him about it. I was like, dang, bro, thank you for doing that. Because I wasn't even thinking about pre-order.
Yeah.
But he said that. And because we set our pre-orders, I was able to get mad support. And so it's like little things like that where it's kind of like you learn as you go.
Yeah.
Because then you had that team that specializes on different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just got to figure it out. And for me, like the music part, man, this is my third project that I released this year, bro. Word. So like I had a beat tape that dropped in March, like right before COVID. And then I dropped a little small EP in April.
Mm-hmm.
And I had dropped Verano in September of last year. So like for me, like I got over like having the angst of like putting my thoughts into something and actually getting it out.
Before we go any further, I need you to drop all your social, your IG, Twitter, anything where the people can find you, your website, all that.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at The Deep End. So that's T-H-E-D-E-E-E. Wait, talking about T-H-E-D. E-E-E-P-E-N-D. So it's three E's.
Yes,
I just got to make sure because if it's not those three E's, you're not going to find me.
Word. Yeah.
If you're just trying to like be cool on Facebook, you can find me at Malcolm Brown. My website is thedeepin.com. So I just keep it unilateral so it's easy to find me.
Perfect, bro. Perfect. Look, man, it's crazy because I've seen you grow from when you started, bro. Like, just really talk about your journey. Like, how did you even start rapping? How did you get into recording and, you know, writing lyrics and that whole thing?
I started writing raps in church, right? Like I used to sit and write raps in church. And I had this epiphany or realization or remembrance. Like, you know how the older you get, because I'm 29 now, the mm-hmm. older you get, you start to forget things. And so like, I don't know what I was watching or what happened, but I just had this memory of like, oh yeah, bro, like you really actually started rapping in church when you was like 7 years old. But like,
that's crazy.
I'm a Christian, like, and my mom wasn't gonna let me rap about what I wanted to rap about. And she wouldn't even let me listen to rap music. So I wasn't rapping. I know in seventh grade though, we had a talent show. And that was mm-hmm. the first time I ever performed. So I did my part. My homeboy was there. Well, my homeboy was supposed to be there. We were supposed to be like crisscross or like some kind of like duo. He got sick on the day of the show, of the talent show, right? And so when I went up there, I spit my joint. The crowd was going wild. His part came up. I should have been like, all right, that's all, folks. But mm-hmm. I tried to freestyle. I had no level of freestyle in me, dog. I choked. And in that moment, bro, like, it just crushed me as my aspiring artist side, right? Because I got on a bus that day. I'm from Charlotte, bro. And, uh-huh. like, it's different out there. So I'm on a bus. And one of the homies is like, he turns around. And he's like, yo, are you Malcolm? And I'm like, yeah. Because I'm like, hype. I'm like, yo, he think I was dope. And he was like, oh, yeah, you the dude that choked. And the whole bus laughed at me, bro. And, like, at that moment, man, I was like, nah, this ain't for me. I just wouldn't even think about rapping. What happened was that, like, it really ignited it all was right before college, like, right before I came to state, I was going on a date at Concord Mills or whatever, and the girl I was talking to at the time, her mom, she just had her pull up mad late. And I was just mad at my feelings because I'm like, bro, you know, we got curfews and stuff. So I'm like, bro, I don't have time for this. So I'm in the car with my cousin waiting for her to pull up. And my cousin's like, bro, like, just relax, bro. Like, I'm gonna put on some beats. Cause my cousin used to freestyle. He went to state too. His name is Terrell. So he went to state. And he used to do the radio station with my homeboy Jose.
I remember those days, bro. I remember those days.
I think it was called Beneath the Beat or some joint like that. Yeah. But like, yeah. So he was like, bro, just freestyle. So we in the car and we freestyling. Like, I'm freestyling about me being upset, and then I started freestyling about some other stuff, and it was just a release, and it was just cathartic, and it was fun. And I had already been doing poetry, because like in high school I started writing poetry, and all my poems were to beats, so they was really raps. But I was just like I told you, I had that terrible experience, so I just never thought I would rap. So what happened was, I got to state, and me, Slim, all the other homies, like, we were supposed to start a rap group my freshman year.
Shout out to Slim.
Facts. But of course, nobody actually followed through. So my sophomore year of college, I was like, nah, bro, like, I really think I want to do this, like, for real. Like, I don't know if I want to be a rapper, like, yeah. But I know I want to rap. So, like, I spent my whole sophomore year, like, freestyling every day. We was getting gassed up at Avon Ferry and just freestyling every day, bro. Like, it was love, but, like, we was doing it for fun. But, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, bro, I'm, like, really trying to be great. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And so that summer, I did an internship in Charlotte at this company called Sport News for sports journalism. And I had got my first computer, my first Mac. And right before the summer, my homegirl Makeda pulled up for the, what was it called? You know how State be having that shoe summit, sneaker summit.
Yep.
I had the sneaker summit, and I met Knife, and they did this class. And I wasn't even going to go, but Makeda wanted to go. She was at UNCG, but she wanted to pull up. So she pulled up, and we went. And just hearing him talk inspired me. And then when I talked to her, she had just recently released her first project. Yeah. And also, it sounded like it was in a studio, but she literally just sung into the computer. And so between that inspiration and then seeing and hearing her process, I was like, oh, this is really, like, attainable. I don't even have to have a lot of things, right?
Yeah,
like, a lot of
stuff. Studio or anything,
right? You just gotta go for it. A lot of times people think to get started you gotta have everything, but that's not gonna be realistic unless you're trapping or you born into, like, wealth. Like, it's not realistic. That summer I'm interning, but every time I'm coming home, I'm like, I'm at a recording garage band. So I'm like whispering, like rapping. So my people don't hear me upstairs because I'm still nervous. So I'm like rapping, but I'm like whispering. Like, one time they came downstairs, like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I ain't gonna hold you. I'm recording raps. And they was like, oh, stop whispering. Like, it is what it is. Cause their son had already, he was already gonna be a rapper, but then he went into the Air Force. So they've already kind of dealt with this in the sense of, like, being a parent and being like, oh, my kid wants to be an entrepreneur. So, like, wrap that up. When I started in 2011, that summer, like, that was the moment when I was like, yo, I'm for real. Cause I literally started recording in GarageBand and I was like, bro, I can do this whenever I want. My homeboy Sean, he started making beats and recording, and he gave me his internet mic, and it's been a wrap since then.
That's what's up, bro. That's crazy. Yeah. Cause I've never heard that story directly from you. I know you were staying at Avon Ferry when I was right across at College Inn. And I remember, I think I met you through Gab, because Gab used to work at Avon Ferry, right?
I used to, shout out to Gab, because I used to get all the tissue, bro.
Yeah, bro.
All the toilet tissue, bro, for real.
She was at the front desk giving out toilet paper. But yeah, I remember she was telling me, like, yeah, he's thinking about getting into rap. She mentioned at one point that you started out doing poetry and doing, I wouldn't say spoken word, but just poetry, writing rhymes, you know what I'm saying? And then it just naturally, you know, it morphed into what it is now. Now we're gonna dive into the project, man. For the people out there who don't know, again, he just dropped a new project entitled In My Head. Meet my personal favorite project that you've ever released. Just for the people, man, just let them know, what was the inspiration behind this project?
Dog, it's the quarantine, man. So I write in a way where I reflect the times, right? Like, whether I'm reflecting the times that are going on in general or the times that I'm actually living, that's how I write. Like, that's how I'm inspired. And so, like, it's crazy because, like I told you, I had dropped two projects in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Dog, I had finished another one. Like, I was almost finished with, like, one right, like, when the quarantine was happening, but I didn't know it was for real. Because, you know, at first we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, and, like, I had to write that out. And as I was figuring that out, I finished the whole project. So it's a blessing, because, like, in my head, it's so good, because if I wouldn't have finished that project before and grew, I wouldn't have been able to create this new project. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what happened was, I created this first project and I was really gung-ho on, like, putting it out. I was like, yo, like, this is going to be the follow-up to Verano. I'm going to kill the summer. And then the summer got killed. And so I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to just focus on my production skills, right? Like, there's certain things that I want to do, but I don't know how to do them. So I wanted to learn how to make boom bap beats. Like, so that's why Loda Music is, like, mad boom bap. Cause I was like, bro, I want to make boom bap beats. So I'm like, all right, bet, boom, Loda Music. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, bet. I can't, like, all of a sudden, all of that started flowing out of me because that's how I was feeling. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. All right, bet. Well, I got this song, but what next, right?
Yeah.
So then the J. Cole and No Name thing happened, right? When they was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was making me mad because I respect both of them. They both dope. But I'm like, it's making me mad, not in the sense of them. It's making me mad in the sense of I'm on Twitter and I'm watching everybody be divided. And I'm watching black men say this about women and black women say this about men. And I'm just like, bro, like, I mean, in any of these arguments, there's valid points on each side, but like, nobody's trying to communicate.
Nobody's trying to hear what the other's saying. Yeah.
Like, where are we going? Like, everybody's trying to argue for retweets and to feel validated, but like, when are we going to like listen and be like, when is it going to become constructive?
Yeah.
When are we going to take this offline and do this in real life? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I got really frustrated and I was like, man, like, I'm listening to this Cole song on repeat. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just write a song. And so, boom, then you got Divide and Conquer. And when I made Divide and Conquer, I was like, nah, bro, like, this song is special, bro. Like, I was going to release it as a single, but, like, God's timing is divine. Word. My engineer was just jammed up. He never got to mix it in time. So by the time he got to mix Divide and Conquer, I had Load of Music, Divide and Conquer, Solitude, and then my homeboy Fredo, DJ Fredo, he went to NCCA too.
Word.
He just randomly started hitting me up and sending me beats. Like, I hadn't talked to Fredo in a while. He texted me, he was like, yo, what's up? And I was like, what's going on here? And then my man was like, yo, I want to send you some beats. And I'm like, all right, bet. And like, I'm real honest, but I'm also like, listen to anything somebody sends me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But look, as an artist, sometimes you just got that feeling where like, is this going to be hard or not? Because I don't want to lie to somebody and I don't want to let them down.
Right.
But you just got to take that chance because I feel like at one point I was that guy too. And probably the people like in a different echelon, they probably think of the same way if I emailed them. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure no matter what, I always give people the time of day because we're all humans. Man, I checked it out and it was cold. Like, I was like, let's go. So he sent me NSL, dog. And I wrote NSL. But at that moment, I got Load of Music, NSL, Divide and Conquer, Solitude. For the homies.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so for me, I'm like, this little small EP is done. Cause I didn't want to like get too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, we're going to find a way to release this. And on my birthday in November, that didn't happen. What happened was I got even better at production and better at writing. So J. Cole dropped the Climb Back, right?
Yeah.
I forgot what month that was, but when he dropped the Climb Back, I made a decision that when I write, I'm going to be very intentional and be very like, so you, cause you make music, right?
Yeah.
So right, you know, like when you're writing raps and stuff, like when you first write it, there's times where like your flow might like go off course and like it messes up the whole like flow of the verse. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
But you'll keep it in there cause you're like, well, I'll figure it out when I record.
Yeah. Oh, facts. Look, I'll write a piece and it may not fit at that very moment, space and time, but I know, right, I'm gonna save it and it's gonna come back later, right?
But now, or at least when I was in that space of writing this project for the song In My Head and for the song The Formula 2, I made a decision that I'm not walking away from this. I don't write things down. I use the computer because I love typing. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not walking away from this computer until I can spit this whole verse without messing up because I didn't tighten up the verse, right? Like, if I messed up because I don't remember it yet, that's cool. But like, if there's a cadence or a word that's making me stumble, boy, you got to go. We're gonna make everything concise. And so once I did that, that's how you got The Formula 2 and In My Head. And so then I was like, nah, these got to go on the project. The way this works with me is I got Sean, who's my brother, and he engineers stuff too. And then I got BK, who's my mix. He's my engineer. He does my mixing and mastering. And like, I use them as like my voice of reason. So like, I be asking him like, can I put this on? Do you think I should do this? But like, in my head in The Formula 2, I was like, hey bro, it's going on there.
Yeah.
We didn't have no conversation. Then the project is finished and it's like, dang bro, like this project is special. I want to make this really special. Like, I'm just praying to God because I just like, I'm playing it. I never get bored of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how like when you make a song and it's heat and then you play it down to the ground, you run it back like 100 times and it's like, eh.
Right. I know.
I didn't get that feeling at all with none of those songs, bro.
Talk about Load of Music, man. It was a specific line that first I reached out to you about because I didn't get the reference because if you're not into anime, right? If you're not into anime, you wouldn't get the reference. But I knew what you meant because you said I was broken over being a nice guy. If I finish Last One More Time, I might turn into Mike Guy. So I'm like, let me hit this dude up. I was like, what is he talking about? Is he talking about Mike Myers? Like, what is he? You know what I'm saying? I didn't get it. Now I understand what you meant, obviously, you know. But talk about that, man. Have you ever bought into the notion that nice guys finish last or that whole idea?
I have in the past, dog. Like, that's the great thing about getting older, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people always talk about, you 29, or you 30, or you getting old. Dog, I'm old, but I'm getting wise.
Oh, for sure.
Like, when I was younger, I used to believe in the fake nice guy trope, right? Like,
yeah.
And when I say fake nice guy trope, I mean, like, the nice guys finish last thing is something that a fake nice guy thinks. Mm-hmm. Because you don't finish last. You receive what you allow. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so, like, yeah, I mean, like, it's a play on words or whatever. Like, but I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because I was being a nice guy. It's more so a play on words, and it's also like a play on the sense of like, don't take my kindness for weakness.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And that's what it is now. Like in the past, when I was younger, it might have been like, oh, I think I'm the nice guy. Why am I not getting what I deserve? But now it's more so of a, like a bro, like, stop playing with me, right? Because my guy is from Naruto, and like my guy throw hands. Okay. So if I finish class one more time, I might turn into my guy. Like if you keep playing with me, dog,
yeah,
I might have to just take it to another level. Yeah. So you stop playing with me.
Yeah.
And because I look at it, because I'm also like Virgin Indie Week, right? Like I'm so blessed to have it and I love it. But it's funny that like the title is North Carolina's Best Kept Secret, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if being best kept secret is fire, but it's also in a sense finishing last. Like, dog, I'm out here, right? Like, I know all these niggas that be around here that's doing shit. I'm cool with them, mm-hmm. right? I'm not better or less than any of these niggas. So, but if you keep trying to put me last, I guess I just got to turn up and make a fire ass project.
Let them
you
know.
Feel me? I got to let them know.
For sure, man. That's dope, bro. Another song that I like very much so is In the Cell. It was another piece talking about, you know, they say they need our protection. And this is really talking about, I assume you were talking about black women, but just women in general, right?
Well, I mean, of course, women in general, but we focusing on black women.
Oh, for sure. Right. So, you know, you mentioned they say they need our protection, but mm-hmm. I was born with infection, misogynistic injection. Yeah, when I heard that line, I was like, bro, he's speaking truth, but it's not a lot of dudes out here who are willing to admit that we're literally born and bred into the society of patriarchy and misogyny right. and sexism. So just kind of dive in deep, and where were you trying to go with that line, bro?
This is where like guys have to realize, and, like me myself too, like it's something I realized with age, bro. Like, bro, it's okay to just have girls that are just friends in your life, right?
Right.
Because like women, bro, they're just so knowledgeable, right? They just see things from a different perspective. And so that whole part of that verse, like literally got inspired because my homegirl Aya, she put me on this joint called The Grapevine. And so The Grapevine is this it's a channel on YouTube where like they just have discussions, black men and black women. And so we were literally watching all these discussions. They were talking about patriarchy and the way that women are affected and misogyny and like how we're born into it and how we don't even notice it. Yep. You feel me? And like after like watching all of that and becoming educated and having like hour long conversations with Aya, like my mental changed, right? And I'm like, I've already known this, but I didn't know how to put it into words. You feel me? And so it's like, okay, well now this is clicked for me. And like I say with my music, like I want you to heal through my pain. Unfortunately, through the pain that I've caused others, right? Because the only way you can like ever be redeemed is to take accountability. And so like that's where that line is from. Like I want everybody to know, like, bro, I'm not perfect, right? And also, why am I not perfect, right? Because there's a reason for everything. Right. It's because I was born into this. Like I'm like you're born into it, and like you growing up, and it's like, oh, how many girls can you smash, dog? Like.
Yep.
You feel me? Like
that's toxic culture, bro.
Yeah. Oh, your homeboy's cheating on his girlfriend. Are you like, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna just be in the room? Are you gonna laugh about it? Yeah. Or like, are you gonna kind of way? Like, we don't as men, we have to check each other, right? Because a lot of the things that happen can be prevented if we take accountability amongst ourselves. Like women won't have to deal with a lot of things mm-hmm. if we check the homies before it gets to that level.
Yeah. It's the same dynamic when you talk about white people and racism and like white people being allies. It's like we men have to hold other men accountable, and black men specifically have to hold other black men accountable, specifically dealing with black women, right?
I'm big on self-accountability, but mm-hmm. this is one of those things where it's like it's not just about self. Yeah. Like you're saying, it's because you could just be like, oh, well, I'm not that way, but you're enabling it.
Yo,
if you hang out with people that are that way and you don't say anything, you are enabling it.
Yo, that's always been my for a long time. That was my first reaction because it's like a defense mechanism. It's like you take it personal, and they're not really. I mean, if the shoe fits, yes. But like for me, I would naturally come off as like, well, you know, I'm doing my part. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm not white people say I'm not racist. You know, it's like.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, bro. Like, it really is.
Simply put, bro, we just got to listen to black women, bro. Yep. Like we're not, sometimes we just got to shut up and be quiet and just listen to them.
Yep.
They be making a lot of sense, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's facts, man. What's your personal favorite track on the project?
The Formula 2 is just fire. That chorus on the Formula 2 is just fire. And it's funny because I wrote the chorus in a British voice, but I would never rap in a British voice. I have been watching Top Boy. That's why it's like if you really listen and break down that chorus, it's written in like a more UK way.
Okay.
Because I have been watching Top Boy. So when I was writing and I was freestyling, like for some reason I had a British accent. And like that part was always just so funny to me. Cause when I was with my homeboy engineering it and I was like, say it, and I started rapping in a British voice, he couldn't hear it like any other way.
Word. So that whole track is you, that whole on Formula 2.
Yeah. There's no features on that on the whole project. Like
I mean, the producer, in that track were like,
no, so the only so NSL and For the Homies was produced by Fredo. I produced every other song in it, every single song, bro.
Yeah, Formula Two in my head, the title track, that joint go hard, bro. Like
the Formula Two just got the best chorus. There's not that many choruses on the project, but the Formula Two, that chorus is just mad infectious. Yeah. But like in my head is the best song by far. That's the best beat I ever made in my life.
Yeah, it's like,
it changed.
Oh, what I
like, bro.
You know what it reminded me of, like old school Kanye, like the, I don't know how to put it into words, bro, but it brings so many different vibes, like starting off with the guitar. And that for me, I love, you know what I'm saying, instruments and instrumentation and all that, bro. Like, but when the switch up happened with the, what you just said, I was like,
it get different, it gets scary when that happens. Like you said with Kanye, that's why I got that line where I say, no one man should have all that.
Hey! Yep.
I had to, because bro, I had to pay homage, because like that's the feel to give you that old school college dropout registration Kanye.
I think I'm stuck in that phase too. Like even when I start to write my own stuff now, or I'm trying to catch a certain vibe, that's the vibe I get, bro. Like just, that's what I gravitate towards.
You know that was a powerful vibe, bro. Like I was on Clubhouse with the homies talking about that last night, bro. Do you have Clubhouse?
I just got on like probably a week ago. Shout out to my girl Renee. She invited me.
If you need anybody invited, let me know. I got you. I got you. But nah, bro, we was having that conversation that Kanye is just mad inspiring, bro. Like that late registration college dropout run was just, like for me, because my mom, when everybody was listening to like all of the classics, like around the time the Slim Shady EP came out, like his first joint, like my mom made me stop listening to rap music because we was in a car and we had a cassette. We had the Jay-Z How My Name Is. Uh-huh. I mean, not the Jay-Z How My Name Is, the Jay-Z Hard Knock Life joint.
Where?
Yeah. Remember the Rush Hour? Remember the Can I Get a What? We love that song. So she brought the cassette. We got in the car. We only heard it on the radio. She played the what's it called? The edited version. Can I get a fuck you?
Uh-huh.
She heard that. She said, you know what? Skip. And then she got the Hard Knock Life. And he said, let me rub on your tits. And from that moment on, she said, bro, you can't listen to rap music anymore. So I literally had a 2 to 3 year span where all I listened to was Radio Disney and Christian music. Which is dope because it shaped my production and my writing style, right? Because I'm listening to a different kind of music and I was forced to, but it was still hard. Like you can trip on Radio Disney if you want, but the Backstreet Boys was hard. It was a fire.
NSYNC, Backstreet, all of them, bro. It was hard. Yeah, for sure.
Fred Hammond was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Kurt was tough.
Kurt, John P. Key.
You feel me? Joanne Rosario. And like the instrumentation on that, right? Because it's live. So it just grew my ear. What happened was I heard Through the Wire on the radio in middle school, like with the homies. And when I heard Through the Wire, I said, you know what, Ma?
That's life-changing. That's a life-changing track, bro.
I heard Through the Wire, and I used to just sneak and listen to the radio when she was at work because I didn't care no more. And so that Kanye is it's special to me, bro.
Yeah. Kanye, the late registration was probably, for me, because I grew up in the church, and a big part of my younger life, rap music wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? You would hear, you know, at school and here and there, but to hear stuff in your house, like it's a different vibe, bro. Man, I know you mentioned there weren't any features, right? In the future, what would be your dream feature?
Dream feature, dog. I definitely got to work with Kendrick. I definitely got to work with Cole.
Speak it, bro. Speak it.
I mean, you feel me? It's gonna happen at some point. You feel me?
For sure.
I'm never gonna quit. Mm-hmm. So look, even if they 50 years old, and
it's inevitable.
They,
yeah,
it's gonna happen. Yeah. I got to do more music with my boy Pat
Jr. Yeah.
That's the GOAT. Mm-hmm. That's the GOAT. Homie. Without him, without Pat, without Brian Kidd, without Sean, without my homeboy Aston Martin, like I wouldn't be where I'm at in terms of being a producer. I be trying to work with everybody around the scene, but it just don't line up. So like, but I know it's gonna happen. So I don't really have a dream, except the niggas that like at this point, like I'm not in their purview yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, everybody around me is gonna happen at some point.
Yeah. I mean you aligning yourself with the right people, man. You got a team behind you. And I think that's the most important thing. For any artist that's coming.
I got God.
Oh, for sure, bro. For sure.
Shout out to the team, but it's all God. Because that's the funny part, right? That's the thing about this project too, right? Like, it's been the most stress-free project. Because after Verano, I taught myself the lesson of like, bro, like, you have more than you think you have. So like, I thought I didn't have a team, but like, but God is looking at me like, boy, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, how could I say I don't have a team, but anytime I need an engineer, I could run to B-Kid. Oh, I need a photo shoot. Oh, I could run to Slim. Oh, I need video. Oh, I could run to Ryan. I have a team. I might not have a full team, but it's disrespectful to God to say I don't have anything, right?
Right.
And so, like, it's just been a blessing, like, living in a space of just being happy for what I do have.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I've had the opportunity to attract things that I didn't have, so...
You know, you hear all these conversations about energy and positive affirmations, and when you put that energy out into the world, bro, like it's bound to bounce back and come back to you, man.
100.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I saw recently you posted on your IG talking about you took that leap of faith, man, and you finally left that 9-to-5, left your corporate job, bro. How does it feel? And two, what was the straw that really broke the camel's back as far as making that jump?
It feels so surreal, bro, because this is like day three. So like right now, it feels like I'm off for the weekend, right?
Yeah.
But it was lit because on Friday, like on Friday or Thursday night, I stayed up till 5 a.m. working on music, and mm-hmm. I didn't have that mental thought of like, dang, I gotta wake up to go to work the next day. Yeah. Boy, I slept till 1. You feel me? But I made a hit, so I can't really be mad at it, right?
Word.
Like I feel like right now it's surreal, but it feels like a blessing because I just know there's nothing in my way but me, right? So as long as I get out my way, there's nothing that can stop me. Like, and in terms of like what I was telling you earlier about the pre-orders, right? Like I said on one of my stories, dog, like I made enough off the pre-order and first week sales to pay my rent for next month, bro.
Hey, that's
like,
huge, bro. That's
I've
huge.
Never even made that much in streaming, dog. You feel me? Like, yeah. This is a leap of faith, but like I challenge God, right? Like I feel like one thing that I've always heard preachers talk about, and I didn't understand it at first because it felt disrespectful, but like when you have faith in God, you got to challenge him, right? And it's not even on no, like I'm trying to sun God. It's just more so like you told me to do this, so show me.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And so like when I've done that and lived in gratitude, it's made this, it's a leap of faith, but it don't feel like it. It feel like where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, because you prepare for it, right?
Yeah, I'm mentally prepared for it. I might not like have all the money saved up in the world,
yeah.
But like, I built the connects. I built the network. I built the infrastructure. I'm talented. You know, yeah. I have God's favor. I have people that believe in me. Yeah. And also, dog, like, I don't, like, there's so many different ways to make money, bro. Like, I don't have to be the 9-to-5 corporate America, bro. Like, if I want to do music and then drive Uber or something, like, there's so many people. This is one thing I was talking to my homie Daryl about. We, as a people, at times don't realize that we have options. And because we don't have options, we do things we hate, right? And so you asked me, what was the straw that broke the camel's back at my job? Yeah. I hated my job, and I was a contract worker, and they kept converting people over me. That would bring people in. I had been there for 2 years, right? So my contract went out. But I had been there for 2 years. And like every time they would bring somebody in, I would already know they're gonna finesse me for him. Cause you know how you could tell yeah. who they like and who they don't like. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna finesse me for him. So I got finessed multiple times. They gave me an opportunity to interview in September. I did the interview and stuff, but like it just didn't sit right in my soul. And so like I had already talked to God and my aunt about it. And like along the process, like God was like, bro, like, well, no matter what, if they offer you the final interview, decline it. And wow. I was like, what? He was like, decline it. So I said, bet, bro. It's funny how fast he worked, bro. That same day I had that thought, they messaged me on Skype while I was at work and was like, yo, so you want to do the final interview? And then my heart started beating. I'm like, oh, snap, this is the moment. So I stepped away from the computer and I said, let me pray. Because like, I don't want to move off emotion, right? I want to like logical and pray. Well, not even logical. I want to be based in my faith and my, you feel me? Mm-hmm. My God power. So I sat back and I just closed my eyes and I prayed and all I kept hearing was no, 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 no. So I said, bet, no, boo. And I told them no. And the thing is, like, it's a blessing because the challenges of being overlooked allowed me to grow as a man, allowed me to grow as a communicator, allowed me to grow as a leader. But at the same time, at some point you have to know your worth. And like a big like constant in my life has been, because I'm a very loyal person. So when I get into a situation, sometimes I'm more loyal to the situation or others than myself. And I have to know my worth. You a water sign too. You a Cancer. I'm a Scorpio. I don't know how much you know astrology, but like we're loyal people, right?
Oh, for
and
sure.
So it's like at some point, bro, it's kind of like, all right, well, I'm being loyal and I'm giving you all of this, but what are you truly giving to me, right? Mm-hmm. And if all you're giving to me is money, I'm a golden ticket, dog. I can make 60 racks a year off music easily if I really align with God and focus and like use all my talents and treat this like a business, right? Of course, do it for love and not like compromise myself, but actually get to the business side of this, bro. I produce, I rap, I can write. Like, there's nothing that a job can offer me, bro. Unless you offer me 200 racks a year, what are we talking about?
Right.
I'm not selling my soul for no regular joint.
Because the thing is that a lot of people get twisted. And again, I got 9-to-5. There's plenty of people out here working 9-to-5, working corporate job, corporate America. Ain't nothing wrong with corporate America, right?
Nothing, bro.
Use it to your advantage, because at the end of the day, for whatever reason, when you leave the position that you're in, they're going to feel it just like that. And ain't going to think about you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's where people get it twisted, man. Like, so, man, mad props to you, bro. You my inspiration right now, bro. Like,
nah, bro, I appreciate that, bro. The crazy thing is, like, you're my inspiration too, right? Like you, Slim, Pat, bro, y'all married, bro. Like I be telling, like my affirmation is I'm a husband, not a hoe, right? Like I don't I want to be married, right? And I'm just like, I'm like, yo, if I want to be married, like I don't want to start a relationship and be trying to figure out how to be a full-time rapper, right? Like I want to start doing this now. And also like, I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I have all the time in the world to do what I like. you had a 9-to-5 because not just because you're married, but you have two beautiful like sons, right? Like,
right.
It's not just about you, right?
Exactly.
So like, you have to consider, like, in a selfish manner. I just don't have. I consider my niece River, my niece and my nephews. You feel me? Like when I'm rich, I owe Gabby a computer. Mm-hmm. They'll go to one of the boys. Like, you feel me? Like, I consider everybody else's children, but like, I don't have to raise them. Mm-hmm. I'm not financially beholden to them. So while I'm in a space where I'm only responsible for me, I have to take advantage of that.
I think that's really powerful that you can see that, because I always preach it's easy to have hindsight, you know, after you've been through something, but it's harder for somebody to really see and recognize and acknowledge certain things while you're in that situation. And I think that's huge for you, because like you said, you want to be a husband, not a hoe. And you want to go into a relationship, not trying to figure out how to be a rapper, right? You're doing that now. So when that time comes and you're setting yourself up, it's like, right, you're already that rapper that's doing this full time. And you know what I'm saying? If she signed up for it, that's what she signed up for, right? You know what I'm saying?
I think you can struggle and be in a relationship and things of that nature. But like, I just know where I'm at, dog. If I'm single right now and I have the opportunity to get myself right before getting in a relationship, why would I waste? I'm not tricking off no time. Plus, that's the blessing of the quarantine. It's a lot of like stuff that's not going right for people. And, you know, it sucks. But it's if you happen to not have to like deal with COVID directly, this is a beautiful time because it allows for self-reflection. Mm-hmm. That's what in my head is. It's literally, I've been stuck in this room. Like, I'm already a recluse. I'm already the dude that leaves the party early or doesn't want to go to the party.
I've been like that since day one, bro.
Facts. But now I have to be home. So like everything that you're hearing from me is just literally because I have been in here, right? And like, I remember when the quarantine started and we knew it was gonna be lockdown, everybody was like, well, why are you here? Don't waste your time. Make sure you start a business or this, this, and that. I mean, I got my LLC, so I guess I'm a business now, but like the main thing I did was work on myself as a man, as a human being, as a follower of Christ. You feel me? Like, and I think as long as you do that, bro, like, you can't be stopped.
I'm gonna ask you one more question about Divide and Conquer, man. Like, what's the overall message for that specific track? I mean, I got a snippet of the lyrics that I wrote down talking about, I'm gonna divide it up, split all the profit inside my circle and hog all the knowledge that's incidental. Like, to me, you can really put that on a lot of different scenarios or contexts. Like, what were you trying to say in that?
Divide and Conquer is funny because remember when you asked me my two favorite rappers or the two people I really want to work with, I didn't put one on there, Lupe. If you go back to my first project, I got a song called Kobe Bryant, and it starts off when I go, I was influenced by Lupe, Kendrick and Cole, Lubin B smoking K while lighting J's, wearing J's and playing 2K. Divide and Conquer is a Lupe song because if you listen to it, the verses, I'm rapping as if I am the system. And so that's why it's written like that. Cause I'm rapping as if I am the person that's oppressing you.
That's how I took it initially, but I was like, I could see how you can play this in many different.
But I made it conversational, and because I just can't help but speak about my personal experience, I blended some of me inside of it. So at times it feels like, is he talking from the space of the oppressor or is he talking from the space of the oppressed?
Right.
But literally, until the beat switches and you get the militant part where it's dark, I'm literally speaking as the oppressor. So like, that's why it's written like that, because they do hog all the knowledge, and to them it's just incidental. It's just, oh, well, this is just a part of life.
Yeah, because for me, like, all the knowledge that I'm starting to see is like the financial sector and like how to invest and how to be smart with your money and the credit system and all of these things that we were not taught in school.
Where's that course in high school, bro?
Bro,
I'm learning algebra and geometry, and I'm failing Chem 2, and I'm never learning how to deal with my money, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really that's the biggest piece to like being, I wouldn't say truly free in the world or in this country, but
bro, money can't buy you happiness, but it could buy you a head start, dog.
Hey,
it could buy you some time to get your mind right.
Uh-huh. You ain't got to worry about paying no bills because you made smart financial decisions. And for me, like, bro, I just started investing in Bitcoin, small stuff. Not even like I'm spending like thousands of dollars, but like just, you know, getting my feet wet to like set myself up when my kids get a certain age, they'll have a more knowledge than I did at their age. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really about having knowledge and passing it on to the next generation. And I feel like us as Black people as a whole, so far behind the eight ball, like when it comes to these things.
I mean, but even those people that you know that are financially literate, ask them when they became financially literate. It's normally later in life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even like my financial role models, they're all older. In a sense, not now, because God is aligning with people who have their things together at a younger age. But like, in terms of like, if I got to look up at my parents, like my mom before she passed, she didn't have everything in order, but I was able to learn from that, right? My uncle and my aunt, like, they didn't have everything in order, but now they're starting to like get things together, and I can learn from that. But it's like, I'm 29 now, by the time my nieces and nephews are 18, I want them to already have all that knowledge.
Facts.
You feel like? And yeah. Like you're saying, knowledge transfer, that's what power is.
Top five, dead or alive, no particular order. Go.
My top five rappers?
Yeah.
Wow, nobody's ever asked me that on camera before. I don't even like to think about that. Look, I'm going to go ahead and give you Lupe, Kendrick, and Cole. I mean, I got to go Jay-Z because Reasonable Doubt is stupid and his career has been crazy. I'm just going to say The Deepin is my fifth favorite rapper of all time. You know?
That's it right there, man.
Hey, you feel me?
Yeah, bro. Like, so this has been a dope conversation diving into you as an artist. The project In My Head is out now on Bandcamp. I'm going to post the link on the website.
By the time we post this interview, it's going to be all streaming services too. So,
hey, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, everywhere.
Hey, but you can still go to Bandcamp and purchase it, bro. That's the thing. As an artist, bro, like the majority of artists are not making good enough money off streams, bro. It take a million streams to make $3,200, man.
All right, for the people out there who don't know, who are not familiar with Bandcamp, why is Bandcamp so important to an artist who's doing it all by themselves?
For me, Bandcamp feels like the old days, right? Because Bandcamp allows artists to make money because you can sell your project and you can sell your merch. And like for me, I've looked at it like, dang, like this is back in the day where like you had to hand out mixtapes. You had to get people to buy your actual physical CD, right?
Right.
Bandcamp is important also because of ownership, right? So for instance, like look at it like this. You pay $10, you get the album, and no matter what, you always own it, right? Mm-hmm. If your favorite artist puts an album out on Apple Music and something happens where they don't clear a sample or something random, bro, you're going to go to that album and that song's going to be grayed out. They have the control. Think about this. Because we all come from the illegal downloader era. I don't illegally download music anymore because I don't even have to Apple Music. But like, think about if you got an old Wayne mixtape or an old Big Sean mixtape. For instance, if you try to listen to Detroit by Big Sean, if you go to your Apple Music, it's going to take out songs that are not allowed to be there.
I never realized that.
And it's literally a project that you downloaded in 2014 or 13 or whatever, and you didn't buy from the Apple Store. You're not streaming from the Apple Store. They're going into your stuff and taking out what they don't want. And so, like for me, Bandcamp it allows the consumer full ownership. So you own this, and also it allows you to truly support because I think consumers think that if you just stream people's music, like it'll do them well, which it will. Like I'm not saying don't stream my music, but like the amount of money that the DSPs are making off the artists and the labels are making off the artists is crazy compared to what the artists make. Like there's no way you stream my song a million times and I only make $3,200.
And I guess from a business standpoint, it makes more sense for an independent artist to get the money directly instead of going through all these third parties, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not even about, well, no, what you're saying is completely right from a business standpoint, but I don't have a problem with getting money from the DSP since I'm getting money. Right. It's the slice of the share you're getting, right?
Right.
Like, I made more money than I ever made off music. Aside from producing somebody's project and like they pay for that, this is the most money I ever made off music. And I've been doing music for 3 years, right? And it's like, it all happened in 2 days.
I made
a crazy amount of money just because people pre-ordered. And the thing about Bandcamp also is you can set your price for whatever you want. You can set it for $3 if you want. You can get a whole album for $3, but you can have an option that says, pay more. I've had, and I'm gonna be real blunt about how much, because it's not that much money, but it is, right? So like at the top of the year, it was a Bandcamp Friday because Bandcamp does this thing where they waive their revenue share. So like they don't take any percentage out. So at the top of the year, I made $111 in like a day, right? Off just two people bought the album.
Wow.
Two people. One person paid like 80 and the other person paid like 30. And when I saw that, I was like, wait, you also never know how much your fans want to support you. And you'll never see that in streams.
That's facts.
Might have somebody who really believes in you, because like this is the thing, like music is like, if done the right way, it heals people, right? It puts them in a good space. Some people party to it, some people find their healing, some people learn through it. Like Lupe taught me a lot growing up, right? Like, so what I'm saying is it's art, it's valuable, right? It's consumed by the masses, so like you would think just in terms of like the numbers, like it might not be as valuable because so many people are using it, but like on a one-to-one basis, somebody could drop an album that can change your life. Now if I told you that you listen to this one album and now your mindset has changed, and because of that you're gonna net yourself $50,000 a year, would you not pay $10 for that album to change your life? It's like a
all
book.
all day bro like all
book,
day
right? It's like a book, the right music. So like why would you not pay for my album?
Because I'm not
bringing you no bull. Like I'm literally, my motto with this music is I want you to learn from my pain. I want you to not have to, like, that's the thing growing up that I didn't do, right? I was hard-headed. My peoples tried to tell me, hey, don't do this, don't do that, but I had to feel it for myself.
Yeah.
So now I'm the old head trying to be like, hey fam, look, listen to this.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. It's going to slap, but it's going to have some, it's going to be some lessons in there, fam. And if you take this and you digest these lessons, it's going to make your life and my life better. So,
Hey, that's it right there, bro. That's it right there. That's perfect. You preaching, you done preach to the people and I'm loving it. This again, this is the deep end people, the deep end on the Gentleman's Guide podcast. In My Head is out now. By the time this hits YouTube and the website and everywhere, it's going to be out on streaming services. But right now you can go get it on Bandcamp, $10 or more, you know, if you want to.
Hey, whatever you feel like, bro, whatever you feel like giving.
Yeah. So, man, this has been dope, bro. This has been a dope conversation. I appreciate you, man. Proud of you, dog.
Do this again, bro. I appreciate you too.
Yes, sir.
Bro.